Proverbs chapter 31, if you will. We're going to be in a number of places in the Word of God this morning as we look at some godly mothers. I'll read for you a poem that I think is good. For all the moms who stayed in bed on this, your only day, and ate with love your burned up bread, off a special kind of tray. Conscious that you soon will face, doing so with pride, a kitchen sink replete with filth and a dishwasher full of Tide. Search deep and long for poems like that for sermons. Was in the cartoons this morning in the paper, all right? So my wife and I, it wasn't a Mother's or Father's Day. We're not sure what the special event was, but our kids brought us breakfast in bed one morning. And let's just say, I have some girls who are really good cooks now. But man, that was a rough breakfast that morning. We did try to eat a little bit of it, and then they said, "You didn't eat it all." We're like, "You're welcome to finish it." They took it in the kitchen, and you could hear them going, "Ugh, oh, yes. Daddy, how did you even eat that?" Pure love. That's how. That's what happened there, right? Oh. We think about mothers this morning, and as I said earlier, each one of us has a mother. And I don't know all of your backgrounds. By the way, the whole Parker clan's here this morning. We're grateful for that, including a Parker who's no longer a Parker, but is a Brian. Steve kind of stole her away. And the baby's probably back in the nursery and so forth. If you've not seen the little grandbaby yet, and others, we're grateful to have all him. Where's Elizabeth? Oh, coughing. She's not used to this southern weather. Good to see her flew in this morning. Of course, James graduated from college Wednesday and is leaving tomorrow or Tuesday, headed to Arizona to work with the Watsons, and we're grateful for the Lord opening those doors, and you pray for them, but it's good to have all of them here this morning. Proverbs 31 and verse 10, we find the passage of Scripture that talks about the virtuous woman, and I want to read this passage. We'll come back and refer to it a couple of times, but we're going to look at a variety of things from Scripture this morning about women who set a godly example. You know, every time you wake up, sometimes when you're sleeping, when you're in a car, wherever you may be, you're training your children. You say, "Well, I didn't consciously think to do this or that," but they're watching us. And they're constantly being trained to do positive or negative. And really, that's the point that I want us to make this morning. You're always teaching your children. You must exemplify Scripture when doing so. And I know for some of you in this room, you say, "My children are out of the home now," and so forth, but you're still setting a pattern for them, even to this day. And you say, "Well, maybe you don't have children." Well, you're setting a pattern for children at this church that look up to you. There's certainly an example. And though we're going to look at mothers this morning, specifically in Scripture and what they taught us, there's not one thing in this passage of Scripture, these passages of Scripture that we look at, that should not be present in every one of our lives. It doesn't matter whether we're a mother or a father or a child or whatever God's, the path that God has chosen for us, we ought to exemplify these things. There were women in the Bible that didn't set a great example for their children. We think of Rebecca, who taught her son to be a deceiver. It cost her dearly, by the way. She taught him well, and then he left and she never saw him again. Jezebel taught her son to serve Baal. Asa's mother was removed from being queen because she was an idol worshiper. Athaliah killed almost all of her grandchildren. There certainly were some women who did not exemplify godly traits, but this morning I want us to look at some who did. And we see a great example of a woman who is unnamed here in Scripture, Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life, not just while she's married to him, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Verse 21-28 is important. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray this morning as we look at these truths from Scripture, that our hearts will be challenged. Lord, there were some godly women in the Word of God and gave us some great examples. May we take their examples and may we heed the truths that they communicate in their lives. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's a number of truths that we're going to draw from this passage a little bit later on, but I want us to go back in Scripture some to 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and look at our first character and a couple of principles that we're going to draw from the life of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and verse 9. Verse 9 tells us, so Hannah arose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she, that is Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, but only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Hannah's a godly lady, and in this passage of Scripture we know that she could not have a child, and she was begging God to deliver her from that. And she said to God, if you'll give me a child, I will give him back to the Lord. And so we learn our first principle about a godly lady is Hannah was an example of prayer. An example of prayer. Imagine Samuel's impact on Samuel's life when he learned that his mother had prayed that God would give her a son, and he was the answer to God's prayer, and then watched her fulfill the very promise that she had given God in that prayer before his birth. What a powerful testimony that was to a young Samuel that we know in those first few years of his life, and we don't know exactly how long he lived in that home, but it wasn't very long. The Bible says after he was weaned that she took him to the temple and left him there. But a godly man he became, and I'm quite sure that he learned the example of godliness in those few formative years, because he certainly did not get the example from the priest that he was serving with. A godly lady that Hannah was, she prayed. We've spent some time in the first couple of months of the year studying prayer, and so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I can tell you there's great impact, moms, dads, children, when we pray. As a boy, one of the images that I have drilled into my mind is getting up early in the morning and seeing my mother on her knees praying. I'll never forget those times. Those are indelible impressions. I can see the couch, though I'm sure it's long been in the dump somewhere. But I could see that couch and I could see my mother kneeling there praying. I always thought I could get up before my mother. And I never did. I wasn't able to do that. Matter of fact, to this day, my mom goes to bed after I do and gets up in the morning. I'm like, I don't know how she keeps doing that. Our son's down there working for them right now. And he said this morning, this lady's about to kill me. You know, my mom's, ever how old she is, I wouldn't say that because I might get in real trouble. But, you know, she's always been a hard worker and I'm grateful for that. Hannah was a prayer. And God answered that prayer specifically. And number two leads us to the second thing. Look at verse 24 of this same passage of Scripture. Verse 24 says, and when she had weaned him, she took him with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. You know, as a boy growing up, this passage didn't mean near as much to me until I had children on my own and understood how hard it was to see them move away and not have time with them all the time. She did this when he was still what most of us would consider a baby. I mean, he was still very, very young. And she left him there. Why? Because she had told God she would do that. And she was a lady of her word. And that leads us to number two, Hannah, because she willingly gave him up to serve the Lord. Willingly gave him up to serve the Lord. And he spent those years pouring his life into the nation of Israel. I think about, as we look around this room, people that their children are scattered around the United States in some cases, or in some cases the globe, serving the Lord. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that you as parents have been willing to sacrifice that way. And Hannah certainly was a lady that did that. Let's look then at the book of Ruth as we kind of walk through the Bible here. The book of Ruth. Back just a couple of pages. Book of Ruth, chapter 3. And verse 6. A little bit of a background here. You know the story of Ruth for most of you. Ruth was a Moabitess. Her husband followed his father down into the land of Moab against what God would have asked them to do. Both the dad and the two sons eventually died there in the land of Moab. Ruth decided to stick with her mother-in-law and come back to the land of promise, back to the real one true God. And Ruth submits to her mother-in-law. And in the process of this, there was a custom where the kinsman redeemer would redeem portions of land or whatever inheritance, and with that came Ruth specifically to raise up seed unto the husband that had now died. And Ruth again was willing to do that. Pick up in verse 6 of chapter 3 as Naomi explains to her that she's going to find her a place to rest. And verse 6 says, and she went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. We won't take time to read the whole story, but it's a wonderful story, as many of you know. I think we can see the godliness of Ruth because she was submissive to authority. Submissive to authority. This whole thing would have been rather unusual. It would have been totally out of her comfort zone because she wasn't from the nation of Israel. All the customs and all the things that would go on with them would have been very unusual for her. And yet, she did exactly as her mother-in-law told her to do. And even prior to this, we find that she's harvesting food and taking care of her and working hard to honor a mother-in-law who, it appears at least in some cases, is not really reflective of the fact that she came back with her. Doesn't seem to be very grateful for Ruth, though we think in the end of the story they have a wonderful relationship. But Ruth, because she was submissive to authority, what a great example that is for us. To be submissive to authority. All of us have the opportunity to be submissive to authority in one way or the other. And we can give that as an example. Let's go back then to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31 again, and draw a few. We could preach an entire message, perhaps even a series of messages out of this. But I want to just draw a number of things that from this passage that I think are important as we think about godly ladies and particularly mothers. What made this virtuous woman a godly woman is because of her provision. For her provision. In verses 13 through 19, we see quite a discourse here on what she was willing to do to care for her family, to make sure that her family had their needs met. She seeketh wool and flask and worketh willingly with her hands. She was able to do all kinds of trades, if you will, with her hands to ensure that her children and her husband was clothed. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So she's working into the night to ensure that her family is fed and well taken care of. She's, if you will, a businesswoman. She considers a field, buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. So she's out there planting a garden, if you will, and reaping the consequences of that. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She's just an incredible woman. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. This lady is an industrious lady, to say the least. I'm not even sure that we could comprehend all that she goes through to make sure that her family is well cared for. This woman certainly is probably where they got the little saying from, a man may work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. You get that idea from this lady, don't you? She's constantly working. She's providing for her house. But we also see the virtuous woman here because of her serving. Verse 20 says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So she's not just caring for her own household, but she's going beyond that and she's caring for the needs of others around her. Those that are poor and needy, that she can specifically meet their needs. What an incredible woman this is. She was willing to serve other people. Number 6, again, the virtuous woman because of her kind mouth. There's more that could be said here, but I think it's interesting in verse 26 when it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. We know from the rest of the book of Proverbs that she must have had an incredible relationship with the Lord because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If she was able to communicate wisdom, then she had an incredible relationship with the Lord, and that had to be cultivated as well. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She was kind with her speech. You ever been in a grocery store and listened to some lady interact with her children or her husband or other people? You don't think of a law of kindness, do you? And we wonder why many of our children don't react to gentle correction when we are not very gentle in our correction to them. Our speech should be always with grace, seasoned with salt. She certainly was that kind of woman. And her children called her blessed. Her husband praiseth her. By the way, I think it's appropriate that we do that. The Bible says that these, her children and her husband did these things for her. The country has set aside this day to praise our mothers, and I think that's a good thing. Don't let this be the only time you say thank you, by the way. All right, I think you ought to continuously do that. But certainly it's appropriate that her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Well, let's move on. Look to the New Testament. Luke chapter 1 and verse 41. Luke chapter 1 and verse 41. This, of course, is the beginning of the story of our Lord, and all the events that are transpiring here. We're just going to specifically look right now at the life of Elizabeth. Verse 41. Elizabeth is now approximately 6 months with child. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, Mary is now with child with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. We find that Elizabeth, though a very old lady, though it's unusual that she's pregnant at this time and all the surrounding things that come to pass, now Mary comes to her with what most of us would consider an absolutely unbelievable story. And yet she responds with wisdom from God, and the Bible says that she was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then she gives an incredible declaration of faith as she says to Mary, the mother of my Lord, Elizabeth says, and she says, exactly as God has said to you, that's going to come to pass. It's still yet in the future, but I know God's going to do it. What a declaration of faith. And so Elizabeth, because she was filled with the Holy Spirit and responded in faith, she's a godly woman. The Bible tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Or to be constantly controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Everything that we do and say should be controlled by the Spirit of God. John chapter 2, if you would. We're going to look at Mary, the mother of our Lord. We're going to come back to her and this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 1 in just a few minutes, but I wanted to save that to the end. But John chapter 2, this is moving significantly forward in our Lord's life. He's beginning his earthly ministry. Matter of fact, we consider this his first miracle that he does in John chapter 2, in verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I want you to think about that statement for a moment. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. In other words, Mary knew that whatever need was at the feast, Jesus could meet that need. And it didn't matter how he chose to do it, the servants just needed to obey what he told them, and the need would be met. What an incredible faith that Mary demonstrated. She believed in her son, the son that she knew was the Messiah, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. She says to these men, whatever he says, do it. And of course, we know that they gather water pots of stone and go through the process, and they dip out, and wow, Jesus creates a miracle, and there's incredibly good grape juice delivered there at that wedding feast. Mary, because she believed in her son. Number 9, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I told you we were going to be doing a lot of turning this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse 14, Paul says to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to continue in that which you've learned, that which from a brand new infant you've been taught the Holy Scriptures. which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Look back just a couple of pages to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Paul says, Timothy, you've had an incredible heritage. You have a grandmother that believes the Scripture, that passed it on to your mother, and then your mother who believes in Scripture has passed it on to you. Timothy, you continue in those things. Don't forget them. So I believe we see Eunice particularly, we could say not only Eunice, but Lois as well, because she taught the Scriptures to her children. Taught the Scriptures to her children, and particularly Timothy here. We don't know if there were other children involved, but certainly if there were, so her pattern would have been the same. So we see some incredibly godly women here. Let's go back then to Luke chapter 1. Told you we'd be back there in just a minute. I wanted to save this one for last. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to once again look at the mother of our Lord. Verse 46. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. We've already read the story of Elizabeth and the baby leaping in her womb, and Elizabeth makes that incredible declaration of faith. Verse 46. "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." I'll give you a couple of things that a very young Mary, we don't know exactly how old she was, but many believe she was very young. What she already knew as a young mother who was already being ostracized by her friends and people around her because she had an incredible story. Oh, you're going to have a baby, but it's really God and yeah, whatever. But notice what she says here. Number one, she makes a declaration that Jesus Christ is God. Do you notice what she says here? "And hath rejoiced in God." In God. In other words, Mary understood that that which was in her womb, though I'm quite sure she didn't understand all that was going on, but that which was in her womb, which would be Jesus Christ, come in the flesh, was indeed God. And Mary understood that. But not only did she understand that he was God, but notice the next two words. My Savior. My Savior. Mary understood that he not only was God, but that he was coming to die on a cross to pay for the sins of the world. And get this, Mary knew she needed a Savior. That means Mary understood that she was a sinner and that she herself needed a Savior. And all, can you imagine how hard it would have been to wrap around? I mean, it's hard enough for us to really wrap around our own mind that Jesus Christ, who has always been, could now be incarnate in flesh and develop in a womb and yet not have a human father and born just like the rest of us and grow and yet be the Son of God and yet be fully man as well and die on a cross. But imagine what Mary must have gone through as she realized that the very babe within her womb was her Savior and that she needed a Savior. What a godly lady she was. Really, what an incredible couple Joseph and Mary were. They have been asked to do incredible things. Who would have believed their story? And yet, she believed this was her Savior. Wow. She goes on to talk here. "He hath regarded my lowest state of the lowest state of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And she continues. What an incredible declaration this was of Mary. And so we see some godly ladies in Scripture. There are other things that we could look at this morning. But Hannah, because she prayed and because she was willing to give up her son to serve the Lord. Ruth, because she was submissive to authority. The virtuous woman, because she provided for her house, she served others and had a kind mouth. Elizabeth, because she was filled with the Holy Spirit and made a declaration of faith. Mary, because she believed in her son and acted on that faith and asked others to do the same. Eunice, because she taught the scriptures to a brand new infant, Timothy, who eventually became a pastor and a godly man. And then back to Mary, who not only understood that Jesus Christ was God, but that she herself needed a Savior, and He was her Savior. What a godly lady. What would you say your children know you as? If someone wants to come and say, what is your mom known for? What do you want to be known for? A lot of us in this room are not moms. What do your children know you as, or what do you want to be known for? In a community, what do you want to be known for? What steps can you take to improve in the areas where you struggle? Specifically, this week, well, I'm not the prayer that I should be, okay? Well, what this week are you going to do to improve on that? Not just walk out of here and say, I need to do that, but specifically, what is God saying? This is an area that you need to improve on, and this is what you need to do to improve that. But more importantly this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, Mary needed a Savior, but she understood that. And I can tell you, greatest thing that could happen on a Mother's Day is for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray together.